Welcome to the podcast, Just Saying. I'm Joe McCormick. I'm your host. This week, I'm going to talk to you about two words that came to me when I first saw Plymouth Rock. I'll tell you what they are. That's it. Why am I talking about this this week? It's because managing expectations is an important thing when you communicate. Before we get underway, I want to make a special offer. So, as you may know, I've written a book called Brief. It's 10 years ago Brief came out. The Making a Bigger Impact by Saying Less. The point of that book is to be ways to be a clear and concise communicator, how to set a standard of clear and concise. 5 years ago, I wrote a book called Noise, Living and Leading When Nobody Can Focus. That book is about the environment that we live in. A lot of things are competing for our attention. Digital devices, distractions, disruptions, you know, information overload. There's a lot of, it's a very competitive information landscape, and it's very noisy, and it's very difficult to communicate in that environment. One way I've described it is if you're not brief, you're probably creating noise for somebody. And the last book of the trilogy is called Quiet Works, Making Silence the Secret Ingredient of the Workday. And that book comes out in a couple weeks. And that book is all about the need to work alone, to think alone, in quiet, to become a better communicator means to prepare, to collaborate well with others means to spend time alone and quiet. And that book is all about practical, realistic, and approachable ways to do that, to make that part of your workday. And I'm going to make you an offer here. I don't think I've ever done this. As you probably noticed, we don't have advertisers. At the end of my podcast, I'm not peddling merch and goods and services and, you know, treating this as a marketing thing to try to get you to do something. I'm just trying to help you become a better communicator. But recently I got a message from somebody on LinkedIn, and it inspired me to make this deal with you. So what I'd like you to do, if you want a signed copy of the book Quiet Works, send me an email at jmccormack, so it's jmccormack at thebrieflab.com, and send me an email, and with a good address and maybe a line or two if you want, about how, you know, listening to the podcast, what you think of it. You don't even need to do that. Just send me an address, and I will send a signed copy of the book to you with one caveat. If you enjoy the book, if you find it helpful, go online, buy another book, go to Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, Target.com, wherever you buy your books, and write a review in support of the book, what it's meant to you, how it's helped you. And then to write a review, you got to buy a book. When you buy that book and it comes to your house, give it to somebody that you think it could help and pay it forward. Why? Because I want this to be part of professionals' lives, and it's so missing in everybody's daily life. And this book is really written to help encourage you to be more deliberate in how you work and the ways you work, specifically to help you communicate better. If you can work alone and quiet, you can communicate consistently in a clear and concise way where others can't. And then the connection of this trilogy of Brief, Noise, and Quiet Works all come together to provide clarity at work. So that's the deal. If you want, that offer stands. So send me an email and I will fulfill my end of the promise. And if you like the book, write a review, buy a book, and give it to somebody. All right, that's the deal. Okay, so here's the podcast today. And it was inspired by going out to dinner with my wife, Julie. So we're out for dinner. And at the end of the dinner, the waiter, guy named Keith, says, "Do you want any dessert?" And generally we say no. I like desserts, but I generally say, you know, I don't really want desserts. So in this particular case, I really just wanted a vanilla ice cream, just because whatever I ate was kind of had a strong flavor and I just wanted something to kind of break the flavor down. So we had this discussion about, should I have one or two scoops of ice cream? Well, obviously the question I had is, well, how big are the scoops? So we were trying to kind of resolve that thing, and it was kind of funny, but somehow Julie and Keith agreed that one scoop was the right thing for me, so I didn't really care, so whatever. A couple minutes later, he comes back with a scoop, and the scoop was tiny. It was maybe the size of like a ping pong ball. It was just tiny, and I looked at it, and I was kind of disappointed, and I'm like, And I just turn to Keith and I go, Keith, this is the Plymouth Rock of ice cream. And he looks at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, have you never seen Plymouth Rock? And he's like, I've heard of it. I've never seen it. And it reminded me of when I first saw Plymouth Rock when I was in high school. Most of us who studied history have heard of Plymouth Rock, right? It's in Massachusetts, in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And everybody, when they see it, has the same two words. That's it. Like, it's this little rock. It's nothing. It's like, it's smaller than a desk. I mean, it's tiny. You're thinking like this big rock and this like Plymouth Rock, like that's it. And that kind of inspired me, believe it or not, to do this podcast. Because sometimes we're like, our expectations are high. Like, I want to see Plymouth Rock today. And you see it and you're like, that's it. Two words. So what I want to talk to you about is how to manage expectations. Everybody's got expectations, but how do you manage them? And this becomes very, very important for professionals because you think one thing, but the person you're talking to expects something different. Like, I'm expecting like a good scoop of ice cream and I get this little ping pong ball of vanilla ice cream, which made me laugh. Maybe think of Plymouth Rock and maybe think of you and this podcast. All in a moment, right? So managing expectations. So how do I get good at this, at doing this? And what's the risk if I don't? Well, obviously, if I don't, people will be frustrated. And if you've listened to this podcast before, you've heard this definition, which I loved when I first heard it, that frustration is often defined as an unfulfilled expectation. Why do people get frustrated? Because the expectation went unfulfilled. I'm expecting a good scoop of ice cream. I got a ping pong ball. I'm frustrated. I mean, I wasn't terribly frustrated. He just gave me another one. But so that's what frustration is defined as, an unfulfilled expectation. Well, you don't want to be the source of frustration with people around you, especially when you communicate. You know, one of the things that inspired me to start the Brief Lab and to write the book Brief was working with people within the special operations community. And what surprised me was I would expect that people from that community who are elite in so many ways would be great communicators. And I found out that they weren't. I mean, they weren't terrible, but they weren't what you would expect it. You would expect them to be much more buttoned up when it came to communicating. And that's where I saw the opening, the unmet need to teach them how to be brief. And my joke was how to make a briefing brief and create an elite communication standard. Well, it all started with an unfulfilled expectation. You're communicating and people start getting frustrated. You're like, okay, it took you 25 minutes to explain that. Like, that's a long time. I kind of expected that you'd explain it to me in 5. And that is kind of the world we live in. It's frustrating. So when it comes to managing expectations, what might you do to get better at it? Well, I'm going to lay out 3 different things. Okay, so just kind of think about this as your way forward when it comes to getting better at managing expectations. The first area is when you hear the term manage expectations, manage their expectations, oftentimes that means lower their expectations. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about lowering expectations. When I worked in marketing for many years, I worked for a big marketing agency and I started my own marketing agency. That's where this Sheffield company came from that owns the Brief Lab and owns the Quiet Workplace. When I worked in marketing forever and you weren't delivering the kind of results that the client wanted, you would hear people within the halls of these agencies say, we got to manage expectations, which was code word for lower their expectations to the point where they don't expect anything. And it was kind of like a cop-out. I always heard that, those two words, and I'm like, so what you're telling me is you want to have them expect less of you. That didn't seem like why they came to you in the first place. I mean, they had these hopes and dreams and business objectives and strategies they wanted to achieve, and they're partnering with you as an agency to achieve them, and you're telling me like, yeah, your job in this agency is to manage expectations and lower them. That's not what I'm talking about. Not at all. Now, there are moments where people have just absolutely wild expectations. I get it. Okay. Now, part of that comes to my second point, which is I don't want you to like do nothing so that you lower expectations. Managing expectations is the second thing is don't guess what their expectations are. Ask and know what they are. Okay. So if you're talking to a person and you think you know what they want, you think that you know what they expect, well, confirm it by asking. Here's an example. Maybe you start a meeting, let's say it's a sales meeting, and you're in sales, and you start with a question. What are you hoping to get out of our meeting today? Simple question. Simple question. Set expectations by asking a question and getting them to answer it. And then by asking the question, you start to gauge what are the expectations. Now, if they answer the question, I'll go back to my agency days, and you'd ask a client like, okay, so what are you hoping to get from our relationship? And they're like, I want to have a cover story on Time Magazine. That's what I want. Okay, well, immediately, well, they're hiring us to get a cover story of them. You want to have their face on Time Magazine. Okay, now, you can, once you know, okay, well, that's what their first answer was, well, that they might not know what that means or what that entails. Like, I want this thing, which is, okay, you could get that, but what we would need to do together in order for you to get that might cost not only monetarily a different amount of money, but there might need to be things that you need to do, which you're not even capable of doing, or you don't have the money or the time or the credentials to do. So by asking the question, when you manage people's expectations, don't think lower them just because that means you don't have to do any work. It's know what they are by asking the question. Don't guess, is my point. So the second thing is, when it comes to managing expectations, don't guess, ask and confirm. Okay, and that will give you some clarity about what are they looking for. And then finally, I would say when it comes to expectations, is aim higher to hit the mark. If you aim to hit the mark, you may miss low. So think of it like, I guess like shooting might be an example. Like if you're doing target practice over a distance, that the trajectory because of gravity would make, if you aimed at the target, you might need to aim a little higher, okay, to get it down. Like, or if you're throwing a ball, if I'm throwing it long, I might need to aim higher so it, the gravity will have the ball hit the receiver or hit the person you're throwing to. So aim higher. Shoot higher when it comes to managing expectations. See, when it comes to managing expectations, I think that we want to exceed expectations, not just meet them. So the first one is like, well, manage expectations equals lowering them. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. The second recommendation was managing expectations means asking a question to get some confirmation or understanding about what that expectation is. And the third point is aim high to exceed them. And when it comes to communication, people have expectations. You're communicating to somebody. You're looking at an audience. You're talking to somebody. What do you think they expect? Well, if you guess, you don't know. If you ask what they want and you deliver more than they want, you've exceeded expectations. And oftentimes this doesn't happen because people just don't ask. They assume. And that's an error. They're always shooting low. All right, confirm and aim higher. Exceed expectations. So let's go back to the example that I gave you about a meeting. When a person says, okay, well, what are you hoping to get from our meeting today? Then to exceed expectations, shoot a bit higher, is at the end of that conversation, you might ask the question like, did what we talk about this afternoon meet or exceed your expectations? Ask a question and see what they say. If you're planning, and this is where quiet comes in, if I'm taking time and quiet alone to think about my communication with a person or a group of people, and I've gauged what the expectations are, it's completely fair for me to ask, did what we talk about today meet or exceed your expectations? You're always trying to exceed expectations. All of this is to say you have to start thinking about your audience's expectations. You know, you don't have this Plymouth Rock moment, if you will. You're like, that's it. So think about it like this way. If you become a master of great expectations, right, meeting and exceeding them, the two words will now go from, that's it, to, oh, wow. Just saying.